Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Middle East today, coming to you from Beirut. I'm Mariam Saleh. Now, despite a ceasefire brokered by the UN and Arab League envoy Kofi Annan, the fighting in Syria continues, and seems that not only in Syria is Syria itself divided, but regional and global powers are divided on how the issue should be dealt with. Now, some calling for arming the Syrian opposition forces and others calling for dialogue. In any case, this crisis is far from over. But to get some analysis and different perspectives on what's happening, I'm joined by Mr. Osman Bakash. He is from the media office of Tahrir Party. I'm also joined by Dr. Kamal Wazni, political analyst, both joining me here in Beirut from Damascus. I'm joined by Mr. Ahmed Shlash. He is chief of the Busaraya tribe. Let me begin with you, Mr. Shlash, if you can tell us about the latest on the monitors, the international monitors that are coming into Syria. Is there something better expected from these monitors, something more than what we saw from the Arab monitors?
Yes, good evening to you and to your viewers. Thank you for having me with you. Let me explain, first of all, that these monitors, I think it's a joke. Kofi Annan all together is a joke. It's the same what happened in Iraq in the past. They tried to make the Arab League stepped inside, and then they failed. And then they said, let's go to the United Nations with the people who are the observers. And in the meanwhile, they said that we found the chemicals weapons. And suddenly there was attack on Iraq. So it's the time repeating itself, my dear. Mm-hmm. What happens now is that they are sending these observers to see what's happening on the ground, and at the same time they're giving these terrorism time to take money and to take weapons once again and to start all over again after our Syrian army have finished most of the job.
Yes,
but at the end, I think that it's a game only.
Now, of course, the Syrian government has itself accepted this initiative by the United Nations and the Arab League. What is, in your perspective, the alternative?
Let me tell you something. The government accepted this initiative because they understood that they have to show the world that we are right, the Syrian people, the Syrian government, our Syrian president is right, and they are behaving right, and we want our country to have peace as it was before. But we planned this, but other people are planning something else. This is what they are trying to do. Do you think that they want our country to have peace? My dear, they have started shooting on this initiative starting from Istanbul and yesterday from Rome, when this man, the Qatari man, was there in Istanbul and Rome, and he said that this initiative have only 3% to succeed.
Do you
think that this is the way to push an initiative to succeed?
All right. Thank you for that. Now, with this in mind, let me ask Mr. Bakash, and we heard this from the Qatari emir saying that the Annan initiative only has 3% chance, and Turkish Prime Minister Mr. Erdogan said that this is already dead. This seems to be pushing backwards to something that is internationally being accepted.
Well, definitely, to begin with, the Syrian issue is quite a complex one. And the players are multiple players. It's obvious that both the Qatari and the Turkish president, everybody has their own agenda. What we are witnessing in Syria today is a multitude of clash of conflict and interest. First and foremost, it is an aspiration of the people in Syria to seek their freedom and liberties and independence from this brutal regime who has been imposed on them and supported by the Western powers in Europe and America, much like Saddam Hussein before and Qaddafi in Libya. Now, the Qatari and the Turkish, they are part of this chessboard game. This latest mission of monitors is no more than given an extension of time for the regime to try to crush this revolution against the regime. The Qatari, yes, they're pushing for faster response. The Turkish president, he knows that this is simply a matter of buying time until the American presidential election is over, and Obama will see his coming fate. We have to recognize that the Syrian people must obtain their liberties and freedom without seeking the support of the NATO and the European powers. What he said, our friend in Damascus, is not true. We saw that in Libya, NATO and United Nations and America, nobody, they didn't send any observers. They started bombing Gaddafi second week. While in Syria, the murder has been ongoing for 14 months plus.
So you're saying that it could probably be moving toward from the security issue to a political situation now, or political solution? Is that what you're saying?
This is true. It will be the so-called the security solution has failed miserably over a course of 14 months, which has resulted in numberless of victims and unneeded bloodshed. The so-called security solution has failed, and now America is preparing for an eventual political solution, except that Obama now is concerned and worried about his coming election.
Yes, before I come to Mr. Wozniak, a very important question for you. The fact that you're saying that they want a political solution, they want to push for this, but they are also, as some people consider, pushing for a new war when they are calling for arming the Syrian opposition forces. Yes. And the Friends of Syria conference seemed to be clear on that.
The purpose of this supporting the Syrian opposition is to enable a future leadership to come to stage to replace the current regime. Mm-hmm. The so-called the National Council set up in Istanbul is another tool, an American tool. These are the so-called future. It's like what happened in Libya, the Transitional Council in Libya, who took power after Gaddafi. So Americans are preparing the stage for the coming change in the power structure. At the same time, the brutal killing of the Syrian people will go on until the local people will come to a point saying, okay, give a solution at any cost.
Okay.
So it goes hand in hand, both the ongoing brutal suppression of the revolution and at the same time cultivating and shaping the future political leadership, which will assume power after this regime is gone.
Yes, Dr. Wozniak, now do you agree with Mr. Bakash that it has passed the security stage and come to the political stage?
Well, let's define like certain things before we start. When we talk about the regime of Bashar al-Assad, we're not talking about some regime is backed by the United States or backed by the NATO. You have to remember that Syria been under sanction from the United States, from the Western world since 1979, and those sanctions been increasing as Syria supported the resistance in Lebanon and in Palestine. And Syria actually preserved the Palestinian cause for a very long time. So it's a misjudgment to characterize Syria. It's a puppet of the West. The opposite is right. Those regime that in the region, mostly Saudi Arabia, Qataris and Turkey, are playing in the hand of the American and the NATO, and behind the scene, behind the agenda of the Israelis. So we have to be very mindful that there is reform that is needed in Syria, and I think the Syrians need to work on it, and I think the process started in Syria to work on that reform. But the American agenda been against Bashar, against Syria, against the role of Bashar al-Assad for a very long time. We have to remember and go back a little bit. In 2006, when Israel attacked Lebanon, the only country that stood was Lebanon and the resistance was the regime of Bashar al-Assad, and Syria put itself on the line and put its credibility on the line, where everybody wanted to sanction Syria, and Syria stood its ground. What happened in 2008 when they attacked Gaza and the Palestinian in Gaza and children of Gaza, Bashar al-Assad was behind the Palestinian people. You will say, do we need reform in Syria? Yes, everybody agree on it, and the president said we need reform. Is what is taking place in Syria right now justify the killing that is taking place from the people who arming the opposition? You have to remember, every day they dig in a massacre in Hamas is committed by those people who are seeking, calling, they wanted to change and they wanted freedom. They killed 2,500 Syrian soldiers. Who killed those 2,500 soldier Syrian? We have to be very careful about what is taking place. But I think the American has taken a position. They have to remove Bashar al-Assad because it serves the Israeli interest in the region. They say There is an Iranian connection, that Iranian connection that extends from Iran to Iraq to Syria to Lebanon, become to jeopardize the existence of Israel. So Israel has to be given some push. The only way they can do that is by removing Bashar al-Assad and bring
a
regime
to you,
to
Dr. Yes. Just allow me, because before we lose him, Mr. Schlash from Damascus. Now, the fact that, although that some people blame the armed gangs and so on, but there is fighting between two sides inside Syria. How can this stop, and how can the Syrians go to a dialogue table? Would that be tough? Do you think Russia can mediate such talks?
Yes, let me first just explain to the Liberation Party, to the man who represented it. First of all, I'm not your friend. Second of all, we are all free in our country, and freedom runs in our veins. So don't make imagination and show it to the people in the screen that there are people who are defending their liberty in our country. They are terrorists. They are not freedom fighters. So make this clear. Second of all, I told you last time, when you mention our president, say it with politeness. His name is not just Bashar al-Assad. His name is Bashar, the president Bashar. Stand down when I speak. Stand down when I speak. I didn't interrupt you. Second of all, when you speak about two people fighting, you have to know, my dear, that there are people smuggling weapons from the north of Lebanon, like his party, smuggling it to our country.
You said this lie before,
president,
and I told you this is open pardons.
But our, it is. There is a lot of smuggling of weapon.
And we will not forget.
Well, it doesn't. But do you condemn it? Do you condemn that smuggling of weapon into Syria?
We are against.
Because those weapons are killing innocent Syrian people and causing a big divide in the Syrian.
We have
somebody is smuggling weapon into Syria, and this has to stop, because this is preventing the reform in Syria.
From Saudi Arabia.
We are against foreign intervention in Syria, whether it is through
democracy
or through the NATO or the American.
You don't know the meaning of it.
We
you
want
are
to
the
get
slaves
our
of money in Lebanon.
Liberation by our own hand, not with the help of NATO and American. No, we don't want that. We are against it.
But we have to be mindful that the Qataris, the Saudis, and the Turkish are been smuggling weapon into Syria, and that smuggling is causing a civil war and atrocity in Syria, and preventing the Syrian people from taking the process to start the healing and build the reform. The constitution that started by the president allow for such things to start. So we have to give him some time.
All right, all right. Let me go back to Mr. Schlash. Please, Mr. Schlash, I want to have an answer to this question before we lose you on the show. The fact, the issue of dialogue, don't you think that that is the way out? Even with the opposition
groups that are outside the country.
I need to get your answer on this, please.
Okay. My dear, you can have the answer through this person who are sitting inside your studio, because nobody wants this initiative to succeed. They are trying their best to kill it. And this initiative was killed before it was born, through these kind of people who are living on the money of Qatar and Saudi Arabia. So do you think that Turkey or Qatar or Saudi Arabia or this gang wants this initiative to succeed? Don't dream about it.
Yes. Mr. Sash, can you tell me what you think about the role of Russia and China in perhaps trying to create some kind of a solution inside Syria? Can we see, for example, a kind of dialogue taking place by some representatives from all sides outside of Syria, and therefore perhaps postponing the parliamentary elections as a result in order a kind of a solution? Yes.
The Russia and China, my dear, is trying to speak dialogue with the opposition, who is, you know, in the medium, who are not carrying guns, who don't want people to carry guns, who don't want to see blood in the streets. But and Russia and China have the right to do that, because these people are the main people who made the veto, and they want peace in our land. They are not pushing toward arms. And they are not pushing money to these kind of terrorism. But, you know, they want something, but Qatar and Saudi Arabia, and, of course, part of the Lebanese people want another thing. And, of course, Turkey, she wants to get back her glory in the past. But I want to tell something to our viewers. We are the Syrian people. We have liberty in our veins. Don't think, don't gamble on something you can't gamble about. Don't think for a second that our president will fall. Don't think for a second that our flag will fall. We will kill and bury anybody who steps inside our land.
Yes. In your point of view, do you think the fact that not only the Ba'ath Party is in control of the entire country, that you have a diverse political system with more than one political party taking part, wouldn't that be good for the country in your point of view? Are you with
my dear, now there are reforms, and the Ba'ath Party is not the only party who's ruling the country now. It's a party like the others. I know that it's going to take a little time to be what you hope to be and what we hope to be. But it's going on the way. It started and it's going on the way. So we have to give a chance and to see results. You know what I mean? You don't have to judge about something who has just started. Give it a chance and then judge it. And we hope that the viewer understand our point of view about our country. Don't look to other media. Look to our media and understand what's happening in our country.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Mr. Shlash. I'm going to come back to you, Mr. Baqash. Now, we've heard from the United States Republican candidate, Mr. John McCain, saying, urging the White House to arm the Syrian opposition. You think that if we have a Republican as the next president of the United States, that we might see a different perspective, that perhaps the United States will be more involved inside Syria?
Not necessarily so. The American foreign policy is fixed. Without whether the president is Democrat or Republican. Some tactics may vary, but the end result is the same. America has a history of when they have their agent in a country, like Suharto in Indonesia. Suharto served America for 35 years. When his term expired, in the sense that he became expired in front of the nation, they disposed of him like an old shoe. That's what happened with Musharraf in Pakistan. When he became a burden on America, they threw him out. That's what happened with Mubarak in Egypt. And that's what will happen with Assad in Syria. Assad ruling has expired. The execution of a scenario, of a solution, it will take some time for America to formulate the coming political leadership. It may follow a similar scenario to what happened in Yemen, where there will be, a transition stage followed by election, blah, blah, let's not forget, till this minute, the transition in Egypt is not over. Mubarak is long gone, but the new setup hasn't taken place yet.
Yes, let me just pick up on one thing you just said. You said that they were puppets of the United States, but the Assad family was perhaps the only leading Arab, in one of the Arab governments where they were not close to the United States. That was its uniqueness. Do you agree on this?
No, I don't agree. The Syrian regime, the days of Bashar Assad and his father, has been backed up and supported by the Americans since day one. Henry Kissinger himself said so in 1976 when the Syrian army stepped into Lebanon. He said, we wanted the Syrian regime to take control of the political game in Lebanon. Even Jamal Abdel Nasser, and this is now is no.
Let me ask you
now
a question.
Now is no. Jamal Abdel Nasser, who used
when
to throw speeches attacking America,
and the resistance in Lebanon,
the CIA officer
American
used to write the speeches for Jamal Abdel Nasser.
Let's say when they sent weapon in 2006 and helped the resistance, they were serving the Americans.
That's what Musharraf did in Pakistan.
They're fighting Israel now, serving the American interests.
That's like
this is like actually nonsense.
Answer me. Who sent the weapons to the Mujahideen? In Afghanistan. Wasn't it the Pakistani regime with the Saudi and CIA?
This is a different story, my friend.
It's not different. The Mujahideen Afghanistan, they beat the Soviet Union was forced out of Afghanistan. Israel is staying in Jerusalem. Israel
is staying in Jerusalem.
If the Syrian regime was faithful,
Israel
would have offered the Golan Heights.
All interests, and it's two different situations. If you want to talk facts, let's not mischaracterize the issue and speak incorrectly when we speak about Syria. We can differ about reform, political situation, but the role of the resistance and liberating Lebanon, the Syrians pay heavy blood in doing so.
I will believe your version if and when the Syrian regime would open the Golan Heights front.
Unless you wanted Israel to continue occupying Lebanon.
When Israel attacked the several sites inside Syria,
Every time Syrian regime say we reserve our right to reply.
What's the reply? We'll start talking history here. How about the future of Syria? Let me ask Professor Wesney, what do you think is going to happen in the future? You think Russia can mediate talks perhaps between the opposition and the Syrian government?
I think it seems that the opposition is backed by the American, by the Qatari, by Saudi. They're not looking for a process where the country can heal. They're looking for destabilizing the country. When you have the Americans saying we can supply, and when they talk about supply, they talk about all kind of supply, including weapon. When they talk about, when you hear the Qatari saying we cannot start arming, and the Saudi foreign minister who's saying we cannot start arming, and they said we cannot give money. You don't look for positive things in Syria. I think the Russian are trying their best and the Chinese trying their best, but it look at this point, the process of killing and assassination and funding all these terrorist organizations in Syria is against the peace and against the process of healing and finding a reform for the country. Everybody wanted reform, everybody wanted healing, everybody wanted to stop the killing. The act of the Turkey, of the Saudi, of the Qatari, of the American coming.
We are against it. We are against Saudi intervention in Qatari and Turkish. We don't want NATO to step in. We don't want no foreign power to step in.
But you are doing it. You are doing it.
No, we are against. We in Hizb ut-Tahrir, we are against it, for the record. We have said this tons of times. For the record, we in Hizb ut-Tahrir are against any and all foreign intervention in our affairs. This is our local affairs, whether it's in Libya, Egypt, Tunisia, Sudan, Yemen, Libya,
but
Syria.
That's what they're doing for right us to now. No. They're coming in.
We are against Qatari.
Causing havoc in the country. And is they working against everything you believe in and you work for?
No, I'm expressing my viewpoint. We are against these rulers in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Bahrain, Yemen, and all who serve the Western interests, who are there because of the Western support. We call that we need to get our own liberation by our own hand without seeking the help of the French and the American. They are the head of the snake.
Well, if you don't know, your operation is hijacked by the Saudis and by the Qatari and by the American and by the Israeli, and in a way, you actually put in the agenda in these hands at the interest of the Syrian people.
Mr. Bakash, you think that the liberation should take place through fighting? Are you with this?
No, the internal fighting?
Should it be through dialogue? No. Should it be through negotiation?
The Syrian army, Egyptian army, Tunisian army, they are among ourselves, my brother and cousin and nephew and all that. No, there should be no interfighting whatsoever. No, the Syrian army, the Egyptian, the Libyan, the Yemeni, their job is to defend the nation, the people, not to defend the regime against the people. No.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Let me ask another question that has to do with the region itself. Now, some would say that the fight or the U.S. and Saudi stance against Syria would be a stance against the alliance with Iran also. Do you think that the success of the 5+1 talks would reflect on the Syrian crisis?
I think that will help to ease the tension, because I think all the opposition in Syria, and there are so many opposition in Syria and represent different agenda from the Saudi, from the Qatari, from the Al-Qaeda, from terrorist group. It's all backed by American agenda and other agendas. But I think it will send a message if there's an agreement on the Iranian front that will ease the situation in Syria, because I think the war, it's against the resistance front, and Iran is part of that resistance front, and Syria as well is part of the resistance front. And to today, I think this is a long way to look at it, because it's the dialogue probably is not there and will not be there for a while.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kamel Wajni, political analyst, Mr. Osman Bakash. I want to thank you also very much, Mr. Osman Bakash, from the Tahrir Media Office and Tahrir Party. We're also joined by Mr. Ahmad Shlash, chief of the Busaraya tribe in Damascus. I want to thank you for joining us. Our email is metoday@presstv.com. Goodbye for now.